Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's The One Show Show, and this is part two of this week's The One Show Show, a podcast that each week skips hand in hand with TV's The One Show through the meadow marked What the Hell Is This? It's almost incomprehensible and unwatchable in equal measure. As ever, if you haven't listened to part one, then why not go back and do so? Otherwise, this podcast will make no sense starting as it does from where we left off in part one yesterday. My guests this week, the man and Tatitos regular Mark Haynes and host of the frankly offensive podcast Crime Club, Jack Beaumont.
Now, having noisy neighbours can be a nightmare, but the residents of One Street in Essex have more reasons to complain than most.
Yeah, 28 reasons per day, to be exact, and they're quite big ones, these. Here's Justin.
What better way to spend a summer afternoon than in the garden with your neighbours, enjoying finger food, fresh lemonade and cakes?
Right, O's for cake.
Yes, boy.
But at this party, there's an unwelcome gatecrasher. This back garden has to be one of the closest to a UK airport.
And I want to say hats off to the director of this piece as well, because the
reveal... Magic.
Even Matt called it back afterwards and made them play it again.
They replayed it, didn't they?
It was such a good moment.
That was, again, The One Show, it goes on and on and on, and we watch a lot of it. And weirdly, annoyingly, by osmosis, you do sort of learn of it, which is annoying.
Yeah.
But this one, I actually thought, that's an image I will take to my grave, was the reveal of this family in their garden.
In the sunshine,
having a little barbecue. They've got the beers out, there's cake. They're sitting in all the mismatched chairs, just like you and your family do.
Yeah.
And then it just pulls up to reveal they are living at the end of a runway, and there's a massive EasyJet plane taxiing within 10 metres of where they're eating.
One morning got up, I looked out and I could see the top of a jet sitting at the bottom of the garden. That had never happened before.
It was hilarious.
And the whole way in was noisy neighbours. And of course, you saw all these, that's what I mean about the director. So the shots are all close ups of people pouring a bit of tea or cutting a cake or whatever it was. And just, ha ha, people laughing, you know, they're all fairly, you know, medium close ups. Then you start to hear this noise, which at first I wasn't sure what it was, because I thought the noisy neighbour story was, of course, about neighbours.
Yeah.
No, their neighbour is an airport. It's an international airport.
The great sitcom, My Neighbour Is an Airport. I'd watch the fuck out of that. I absolutely loved it.
It was great.
There's little bits as well that sort of made it each time.
God, yeah. I'm thinking Janet when she says she got banned from complaining. And then she's like, I'm just going to continue complaining anyway.
How have you reacted to this?
Every time a plane sat at the bottom of my garden, I complained. Well, within a very short period of time, there was 403 complaints. The airport have now suspended us from complaining.
There was a bit where you sort of go, oh, that's hilarious. They live at the end of a runway. Then they sort of go, what's more is you can really smell the fuel here, right? Hilarious. Extra bit of detail. And then they start going, oh, they're just about to quadruple the number of flights. Oh, this just gets better and better and better.
Fair play to Joss interesting though, because he brings it up. He says, well, you move next to an airport, and they were like, and then it becomes clear that actually they, without telling them, they said they wouldn't do it, but they've expanded the taxiing runway, whatever it is. They're just got queuing up stuff. And then I'm thinking, all right, I'm back in these Essex folk now, because they're on the side of the righteous, and they're not thick necessarily. Well, certainly not in terms of where they're buying their property. But then it goes to Glyn Jones, chief exec at Southend. And Justin, I mean, I like his output, Justin, but he could have been harder on him here. Mm. He asks him a question. He says, I don't answer hypothetical questions.
Yeah.
I wonder if you were building an airport now, whether you would be allowed to have a taxiway that close to people's houses, because it is extraordinarily close.
It's a hypothetical question. I can't answer that question.
You just don't answer difficult questions, you little prick.
Yes.
What are you on about?
It was an officious prick, that man, wasn't he? Yeah.
And also, the other thing is, look, even if you run the airport, you can see that what you've done must be hell for those people who live at the end of the runway.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, they shouldn't live there. That's true. It's not their fault they live there. They live there. You can't not say, yes, it must be horrible for them, because they've got 9 planes taking off every time they put the cat out. You know, you just have to be a bit human about it and go, yes, what a fucking nightmare this must be.
Yeah.
You
know? And then there was a line that Glyn, the prick executive, said as well, where he just sort of said, as though this helped, given that the whole piece is about noisy neighbours. And the noise of a jet plane taking off is the... It's not looking at a plane. That's not that annoying. It's the noise massive jet engines make when they are in your garden.
Yeah.
And he said, well, as though this was defence. He went, well, we hold the aircraft as infrequently... Infrequently as well. As infrequently as we can behind the hangar so they can't be seen.
So they can't be seen.
And he also says, we considered putting up a sound barrier. Yeah, you considered it, didn't you, you little corporate swine? What are you on about?
Then we realised it wasn't free.
Then we realised it might cost a few quid. Back down.
I think there's a plane coming in now.
Gonna have to shout because the plane's taking off.
This is our problem here. You know, they're far too close to our house. Far too close.
They're far too close. Phrase. They are far too close. Absolutely hits it. There's no way out of that one. Not just they're close, they're noisy. They're far too close.
And then there was the said about the jet fuel and how the air pollution from planes must be terrible. Literally, they're eating their barbecue that's swathed in jet fuel.
And the airport had said, oh no, you know, the air pollution won't be any worse than a normal road.
It won't be as bad as a normal road.
So what did they do?
They got did a one-show experiment.
And what did it show?
That the man from the airport was right.
So we've got two different lines here. So the orange is by the road and the blue is here next to the airport.
There's big spikes when the planes take off, but actually, the road has a slightly worse pollution profile than here, doesn't it?
That must have been
a
gutter.
Turns out people who just live by busy roads are suffering far more pollution than the airport people.
Yeah.
The people, you're right, were a bit crestfallen, weren't they?
Yeah.
The picnicking families were just like, oh, right then.
Yeah, oh, right.
But we're still going to keep complaining anyway.
That's not the result.
How do you ban someone from complaining?
Exactly. To be fair to Janet, she saw through the bullshit.
There was 403 complaints. The airport have now suspended us from complaining.
How can they suspend you from complaining?
We can't complain for the next 6 months. And if we do complain within that time, they will extend the suspension.
She's like, well, yeah, what, are you going to stop me from writing an email? No, you're not. I'm going to keep on complaining. Thank you very much. Shout out to her. Shout out to Janet.
Did they get an email back from Glyn at Southern Airport going, I've banned you from complaining. Your complaints are not welcome here. Well, do what you like, because here they come.
I've just banned you from landing planes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not how it works. Yes, it is.
And then Matt, off the back of the film, he asked again, he said, can we see that shot again of the reveal, which we've talked about?
It was a great reveal.
It was very good directing.
Do you reckon they got the drone in for that? It was quite smooth.
It looked like a drone shot. Yeah. What would have been an expensive crane shot in the old days.
But also, I mean, flying drones around airports is not particularly... People don't like that.
That's a good point.
That'd be the sort of thing. And Southend, you know, if you're Southend Airport and they go, can we put a drone up? You're going to be going, you know what they're making the film about, don't you? The fact that we've moved all of our planes right by those gardens.
Yeah.
You'd say no. Absolutely no. Yeah. So
it must have been a crane shot. Then.
Speaking of though, if Janet is interested in some vigilante action, get yourself a drone, love, and fuck up their airport.
Actually, that's very good.
And if she doesn't want to do it, I'll do it for her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
yeah, just go around. So we've got the neighbours are all around. We're having a barbecue. We're having our beers. We're having our cup of tea. And we've got this. Yeah, you don't want complaints. Well, have this instead.
You'd have to time your drone around like your barbecue, wouldn't you? You'd go right. It's a 5-to-1. Get the drone up. We've got 2 hours. Cook the chicken. Cook the sausages
as it hovers above.
Oh, it's
if Janet wants to get in touch with the show, then I will hire a drone and fuck up Southend Airport on her behalf. And I'll also set up a grow op in Lara's garden so because she can smoke a bit of weed for
sorting out and the problems of the one show.
He's both going to host and guest on his own Crime Club podcast.
Well, I did have an ulterior motive.
The film about food waste.
Oh, Christ.
Do we enjoy that?
Got nothing to say on that point.
No, I've got...
I mean, it's nothing to it.
In many ways, we've never had it so good. We can stuff our fridges with whatever food we want from anywhere in the world at any time of the year. But when it comes to how we use some of that food, we're not always so good. If I buy a bag of rocket, right?
Yeah.
If I want it to turn to fucking liquid in my fridge, that is my call. Being constantly lectured by people about going, oh, you're throwing all your food away. Fine. I'm not crying. You don't need to cry. We cannot have food that is exactly the amount that people are going to eat with no more and no less. That is not possible. A 3 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute video, however long it was, basically bollocking us for throwing away food, whether we do that or not.
Yeah.
I could have done without
that. I think it was 50% bollocking people who throw away food, 50% bollocking supermarket chains who be throwing it away and commending those that take it from the supermarket before it goes off and sort of thing. So actually, I'm going to counter that, Mark.
Yeah.
By throwing loads of praise at the One Show for that extraordinary piece of...
If I throw out fucking 2 centimetres of milk, right, a week, that's fine for me. I can live with that.
So is that a euphemism for wanking?
Yes.
Yeah, also,
yeah. And I'm doing it during anyone who talks about food waste. So from now on, be aware, if you go on television and talk about food waste,
you're throwing out two centimetres of milk.
Absolutely. I hope it puts you off.
Rylan was on, wasn't he, speaking of which?
I bet you were pleased about this. Your twin loves, Rylan and Eurovision.
Fucking hell. Do you hate Eurovision?
I hate Eurovision with a passion, but Rylan even more.
It looks like he's been busy with the bunting. Rylan, it's 21 minutes past nine now. What's happening?
Oh, it's all going on, guys. Erev Tov from Tel Aviv. It's so lovely to have you guys here with me. That's right. It is the first semi-final of the Eurovision Song Contest 2019 tonight at 8 p.m. on BBC Four.
Really, you know what? I don't like pre-Watershed Rylan but post-Watershed Rylan, I can get on board with because he can deliver that kind of sassy, snappy.
He's good.
Innuendo-laden content for which he is remarkable.
Yeah.
Simply remarkable. That said, pre-Watershed is a waste of space.
It's funny, isn't it? Because they'd overlit him as well, and he looked like he was like the morph. Right.
Well, he looks overlit in the dark anyway.
Yes, he does. He had no nose because it was so brightly lit, and it's just like two dark eyes, the beard. The teeth.
Yeah. Well, Matt asked him what was going on because he's in Tel Aviv, right? Yeah. He's live. It's a link up into the One Show.
Well, what's it sort of like in rehearsal? Being there right now?
Yeah.
Is
what's
the question.
It sort of like? Yeah. What is it like there? But he then spoke for a minute and a half.
Yeah.
In Rylan's signature annoying way, and he didn't tell us anything at all. Nothing. There was no information.
No, he didn't. He gave me because I like to gamble on the Eurovision, and he gave me a hot tip for Australia, whose odds have been shortening by the second actually this week.
Is this because of the woman on a bendy pole?
Very much so. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the kind of novelty act that will win you Eurovision.
Right.
If she had a beard, then even better.
They introduced the British guy.
I don't know. I don't know.
Michael Rice.
But the reason we are all here is this guy. It is Michael Rice. He is our delegate for this year. Michael, how are you enjoying it?
Honestly, it's just an incredible experience to be here, and I'm just loving every moment of it.
What a pop star name, eh? You're born with a name like that. What else can you do but become a pop star? Michael Rice. Mike Rice. And he just so bad.
Do that in a Chinese accent.
No.
Okay. And,
it was a funny thing to sort of see him and just go, I don't know what this is anymore. And there's just this little lad talking about his song, which I've not heard.
Yeah. Oh, I have.
Have you?
It's dog shit, no offence to him, but it is dog shit. You know, we haven't had a decent entry since Javine, 2005, I'm going to say. Light My Fire, Touch My Fire, that's it. Or smoking track, but continue.
Is Michael Rice, well, what are the odds on Michael Rice? They like?
Oh, we're looking at a good 50s.
Right.
If not 60s, I think, yeah. Although, for me personally, I'm going to put a couple of quid on Australia, but for the big money, for the smart money, you can't look past the Netherlands. If anyone is interested in getting on this, but yeah.
When is Eurovision? Is it this
Saturday,
weekend?
Saturday, isn't it?
Oh, so this will have gone. This will be going out after Eurovision, so we'll see if you're right.
It's Sweden or the Netherlands. They need 253. How much points do they get from the public? points, that means that the winner of 2019.
Oh, give me up.
Yes! This is to dreaming big. This is to music first, always. Thank you, thank you!
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont, and this is Crime Club, the podcast where I talk to people who have done terrible, terrible things, either immoral or illegal, ideally both.
Oh, fucking hell, mate.
That's Crime Club.
Oi.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I love the way this show ended as well. Did you spot how this show ended? I think he said we had the dog fucking part two video.
Yes.
Of watching an undulating dog's vagina on the television at
yes.
25 past 7 in the evening. And then they threw ahead to the dog and cat thing.
Yep.
And then Matt said,
just tripped over a massive bag of cat litter.
And I was thinking, what was it like? Tell us what it was like. I actually shouted that on the train at the iPlayer.
It is worth saying, we just briefly sort of spoke about this, I think, like just before we started recording. But this was such a boring week of shows. Yeah, I mean, it's so boring.
Mind you, though, Clooney on tomorrow. Or tonight, in fact. Clooney's on tonight.
Really?
Yeah, we should have said, Espresso Man. Yeah.
Wow.
We're recording this on the Thursday day that Clooney's on in the evening. But it might mean that we touch on it next week.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what's going to happen with Clooney, but it might be worth it.
I saw a little bit of that. Is it Elizabeth McGovern?
That we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
Matthew Broderick.
Christ
yeah.
almighty, that was fucking awkward,
know,
wasn't it?
I
that
know.
Was horrendous.
As we talked about, yeah.
Man.
One of the worst Hollywood stars.
I'm really tempted, before it goes off iPlayer, to download and put on this podcast the entire interview that they did with Elizabeth McGovern, followed by the Line of Duty parody they did with Vicky McClure.
Yeah,
because those will disappear within a couple of weeks.
You're right.
And they need to be preserved for the nation.
That's not a bad idea. We
as
put
a
them
warning
out,
for future
sort of,
generations.
Why don't we just stick them out as a bonus? This is something we could
idea.
Do, isn't it?
I mean, technically, it's probably BBC property in that they broadcast it and we're essentially ripping it and then
yeah but this
it
is fair dealing. It's just reviewing it and we're saying it's shit.
Yeah,
on the big cat and dog episode on Wednesday, they got their cat, they told people again, the caller, send us a picture of your cat or your dog.
Now before tonight, we asked you to get in touch with your stories, pictures and videos, and the response was fantastic.
They got in quite early with it. They started showing them and guess what? They weren't very interesting.
No.
They were just pictures of cats and dogs.
There you go.
Yeah,
Molly
you do it,
with,
you do it.
With Molly with Honey, 1.5-year-old Bichon Frise. Look.
Lovely. Now keep sending us your pictures and stories of your cats and dogs.
Matt then forgot the A on RSPCA, just said this is the RSPC saved.
This is Beverly's cat Benson with his RSPC award.
They then got people to say, OK, are you a cat or dog person? Use the hashtag cat versus dog, cat v dog.
Get in touch in the usual ways and get the cat and dog debate going on Twitter using the hashtag cat v dog.
There must have been discussions about this, about going save it for the hour show, because this is going to absolutely break the internet. This is going to be huge.
Yeah. I checked there were 360 cat v dog hashtag tweets that I counted when I looked anyway.
That's amazing.
Which, but, you know, I've got a theory about why they did this hour long special.
Uh-huh. Right?
My theory is this. There was a surplus of cat and dog based films. Past their use-by date.
Yep.
Because of VT poverty, they didn't want to distribute them to charities and schools. They had to use them up. And they thought, well, we've got so many of these fucking off-the-shelf cat and dog films.
That would explain why they got that couple that go on adventures. Well, they were described as adventures. They're just walking about.
Yeah. Adventure cat.
With their cat. Well, they called you know what the name of the cat was?
Kathmandu.
Cuntiest name for a cat I've ever fucking heard.
I'm Georgina.
Hi, Mandy. Our pet is Kathmandu, our little cat. She's 1 year old.
And she's an adventure cat.
Georgina and I normally go on a whole range of adventures. It is very unusual for us to take a cat on an adventure. But no, we thought, well, why not? Why do people take dogs? Why can't you take a cat?
And it was a couple in the north going on walks with a cat on a lead up a hill. And that was the film.
Take out quote from that was, you can tell if she's getting a bit tired because she tends to hang around the back a bit and it's not catching up with us as much.
Yeah, no shit. They're dragging a cat up a hill on a lead. It didn't want to go. And then, what's more, off the back of that, that couple were in the studio with the cat, literally came all the way from Yorkshire or wherever it was, quite far away from London. They got about 30 seconds, a minute, and that was the end of that.
Well, for Cat's latest adventure, Georgina and Andy have brought it down to the BBC. So, highlights of the day. How did it go?
The day went very well. She started off by not sleeping overnight and then decided to go out all day. Yeah. We managed to get her in the van and drove down this afternoon.
Why have you dragged them here for that?
But what? I mean, what's going to happen? That they haven't covered in the VT. It's not like the cat's going to suddenly fucking learn to speak, and then that's a great TV moment.
Although it might have got suddenly ill, which would explain why. Because like we had Angelica Bell holding the handheld camera, exploring the orifices of the cats while they're being and the dog, because both cat and dog had a checkup, right? Angelica Bell like holding. Obviously, I mean, no skin off her nose, but like she's not an expert in holding a camera, handheld camera, and looking up the arseholes of cats. And it's just a bit like the camera work was a bit shoddy from her, but I'm sure she will take that on the chin.
It was spectacular. We were just getting on primetime television close-ups of cat and dog holes.
What? Is there a new producer who's come in who is a horrible pervert?
It's the Amsterdam guy.
Yeah. I was thinking, Angelica, what I'd like to do. You're going to be like a dog's bum hole? Yeah? You know? I thought we could put that out. Everyone gets a sheet of dog's bum hole. Yeah? Bring in your dogs. Bring in the cat.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea to get used to looking at your pets really closely and carefully when they're at home so you can pick up on problems early. Yeah. So let's do a nose to tail.
She started laughing as well. This was excellent. So they had Cat the vet checking out the cockapoo, and then she checked out a cat. And they were talking about things to notice on cats if they're getting ill. And Angelica Bell was shoving this camera into the cat's mouth, right, to show a close up of its gums and stuff. And as the woman said, what you're looking for are signs of tartar on the teeth, gingivitis, and soreness. Bell was just laughing at the things that can be wrong with a cat.
You can see those fangs at the front, but to lift and look at these molar teeth at the back is really, really important.
They look good.
She has got beautiful pearly whites, but we'd expect that in a young cat. When they get older, they can start with tartar, gingivitis, soreness. And it can be quite problematic. But
someone told me years ago that if you do veterinary medicine, so you do your 5-year course, there are two parts of it, and one is mammals, and the other is reptiles, because they're very, very different.
Yeah.
But they were saying there's one that sort of falls between the two, which is rabbits. And rabbits, for some reason, are entirely different from mammals when it comes to veterinary science. Basically, they don't spend any time at veterinary school doing rabbit medicine because people just go, oh, it's really difficult. Don't, you know, just concentrate on the mammals and the reptiles. And so if you ever take a rabbit to a vet for any reason, you go, oh, he's got a bit of a sore paw, they will go, I'm afraid he's going to have to be put down. Right? This is apparently, there is nothing anyone can do for rabbit because they don't know, because it's tricky and no one bothers to learn it.
They are useless. They die all the time. And that explains why, because they can't be treated. But also they are shit at staying alive, basically, rabbits, as pets.
It's just as well that they are constantly fucking. That's the only thing that keeps them going.
Why.
Yeah. They know.
Yeah. It was very odd. And then there was another, twice in a week, the wrong film got put on. They showed
This is a running feature now.
Well, it must be someone new pressing the wrong button. So early on in the episode, they showed Adventure Cat, as we've talked about. And then they were going to a film about animals that have been run over, right? And about a man who wants to change the law. Because you have to report a dog. If you run a dog over, you have to report it, don't you? Not cats, not so much cats.
Yeah.
So it's the thing about they should equalise cat and dog legalities.
Yeah.
So they sort of said, and here's the film. And then a still came up from Adventure Cat of this couple sitting on a mountain with a cat. and it stayed there for too long.
Right.
Then it just hard cut to the opening again of adventure film.
Right? Someone's having a mare.
And then, without last week when they cocked up a film, it came back to them when they apologised in the studio. This time, no, it just cut straight out of that film, crashed straight into the start of the film they were supposed to. It was a disaster. Ugh.
Now for a story about a campaign to make cats and dogs equal in the eyes of the law. Here's Miranda.
She's got the biggest personality. She's like a 3-year-old when she's tired.
With their stealth, agility, and remarkable ability to land feet first from incredible heights, it's easy to see why many believe cats have 9 lives.
We've all made these mistakes. You know, certainly doing a lot of live
radio. I never have.
You know, I've fucked it up loads of times. But it's just so jarring. The thing is, I'm doing that myself. That's the weird thing, is it? On the radio, if you are pressing buttons, you're doing it yourself, talking at the same time. It's like driving a car. You're doing one thing, doing another. And sometimes you miss hit it or it doesn't fire or whatever.
Yeah.
But someone's sole job is to press the button marked the right VT and line it up, right?
They like people who think outside the box. You want me to press button 1? What about if I press button 4 and then 3 so it freezes? Nice.
Matt's contribution to the whole dog health debate. Oh, he's got a nice wet nose.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
He also said at one point, Twitter's gone mad for cats feed dogs. 360. At time of counting. The pictures, we've got so many pictures coming in. So they kept cutting to long VTs of compilations they'd made of cats being slightly funny. And you go, the BBC has become YouTube during this hour. And then he had a picture of a cat and he said, we got all so many pictures have been coming in, so many pictures. And this is, I can't remember his name, you know, Henry the cat, whatever it was. And look at him. Then he said, and we'll be seeing this cat later because he's in one of our VTs. Then someone hasn't sent that in, have they?
No.
You've just got a still.
They also did one this week, which was, and it was on the Gentleman Jack episode, which was Monday. They said, send us in a photo if you kept a diary. And they don't want to read out from the diaries. They don't want to know the content. They just want to see the outside of the diary.
Well, we want to know if you at home kept a cherished childhood diary. And if you have, would you send us a picture, please?
One of them turned out to be spectacular, though. That they held it up and it was a 1986 Radio 1 diary.
Yeah.
And they said, and the bloke who's filled this in, he says, there's absolutely nothing in this suitable for this time in the evening. And I thought, 86, Radio 1, nothing suitable. Is this Jimmy Savile's diary? Is this it? In which case, read it out. Yeah. Read out every word of it. Thrilling. But yeah, lots of photos of people holding up their diaries. And, you know, Malcolm, he kept 2 diaries in the 60s, and that one he's holding up is his sports diary.
This is what's passing as prime time entertainment. Yeah. There was a little other cat video as well with Tufnell and Adam Hills where they had to guess. They had 3 VTs of 3 different amusing cats off the internet having balls thrown at them.
Yep.
And then Tufnell, they stopped the film halfway through, and Tufnell and Adam Hills had to guess whether the cat caught the ball or not.
Okay, here we go. Let's have a look at Oscar.
This is a slow-mo. It's high at...
That is going to bounce right off the nose.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I think he's looking a bit tricky on there. It's a high ball as well, isn't it? I think that could be a bit tricky, that one. I'm going to say no.
It's a miss.
Yeah.
We're going for a miss. Okay. Let's find out. Come on, Oscar.
Oh! In and out. I think it was one of the finer pieces of work from that episode. But obviously that's not saying much. But it was the bit where I was least bored shitless.
Yeah. Because they're amusing cat videos off the internet. So that makes entire sense. Yeah. What about the bit when Adam Hills pulled some sandpaper out of his bollocks?
I thought that kind of worked.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't laughing my arse off necessarily, but I thought it was a decent.
He was rubbing his off.
Yeah, exactly, rubbing his gooch off, I'm sure. But I thought it kind of worked. I was, you know, there.
It was a reference to Australian ball tampering because they're talking about cricket in the World Cup and the Ashes and so forth. And he'd obviously prepped this.
This again, this is a sort of theme going, isn't it? With sort of like, you know, male genitals are really big at the minute on the One Show.
Yeah,
Joe Pasquale last week doing loads of stuff about, you know, his dick.
And that bloke from Southend was a prick.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right, we're coming to the end. Has anybody got any other business? Any other business? Something we may have missed?
One thing from Monday, the best episode ever, was when Matt was just polishing off. He was ending the whole section on Helena. And he just says, and it's so great that we can make these kind of things, you know, thanks to people like Helena or whatever.
Unbelievable to think that everything that's kind of been unlocked was corded, was locked in a wall.
Yeah, I know.
And none of it would be known if it wasn't for the likes of Helena or whatever.
Helena or whatever, as if you don't care what her name is. And I'm thinking, like, well, that's quite rude. You've been, up until this point, you've been quite polite. But you've gone, like, people have such a load of hard work been put into making shows like this, reading through the diaries, decoding the diaries, like Helena or whatever.
There were two nice bits that I noticed. One was in, was it Wednesday's Cat and Dog? I think it was, when Matt, they did a call out for charities and animals that need your help. A lot of picture of sad looking dogs. Mm-hmm. One of which had, terrible had happened to it actually. It was in the Lebanon. They showed it on chained up on a blanket, but this dog had a missing ear, the ear cut off, a broken jaw, its eyes were all mangled eyes.
And it'd been shot in the eye like 9 times by some dickhead.
17 times it had been shot. And then they were talking about it. And then they had it in the studio. And I was thinking, isn't it suffered enough?
I tell you what, if that had been a rabbit, it wouldn't have stand a fucking chance.
And then the only final point I noticed was that during the survey of the nation's dog food habits, which no one cares about at all, they were very keen to tell us they had 36,000 respondents to this.
Crazy.
That doesn't sound like many, really, though, does it, in the grand scheme of it?
But when you're talking about what does your dog eat, 36,000 people join in. That seems to me quite a surprising number.
But they glossed over the most interesting statistic. It was that nine respondents said that their dog is fed on an insect-based diet.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And I thought, no, they've just spoilt their ballot paper.
What insects would they eat?
They, again, glossed over it.
Is that like when, like, old women, they die and then their dogs eat the body and then there's a period of about a week where there are still flies and the dog is surviving on that? I presume it's them.
All those dogs like mine that sometimes snaps at wasps.
He's eaten. That saved us 60p.
That's it. We'll be back next week. Please do rate and review and tell your friends. And we'll be back shortly with news of a live version of the One Show coming to a venue near you, providing near you is London. Thank you for being a tea tosser. And remember this and remember it well when you look at the television to look at the One Show. The One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
What would happen if you got a comedian in a room, you opened their Amazon account, and you look back at everything they've ever bought on that website? Well, this.
Because I was consuming so much peanut butter, I decided to try and get a powdered version that wasn't as fattening.
Your handwriting can change your life.
I regret this book. I regret this book.
Keep Calm and Love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that. I do have that on my fridge.
£4 you spent on that.
That's My Mate Bought a Toaster, available now from Great Big Owl.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.